The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 30, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on September 25th, 2017, in Mayapur, India.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, when the king of elephants was describing the supreme authority without mentioning any particular person, he did not invoke the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and Chandra. Thus none of them approached him. However, because Lord Hari is the super soul Purushottama, the personality of Godhead, he appeared before Gajendra. Purport. From the description of Gajendra, he apparently was aiming at the supreme authority, although he did not know who the supreme authority is. He conjectured, there is a supreme authority who is above everything. Under the circumstances, the Lord's various expansions, such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Chandra, and Indra, all thought, Gajendra is not asking our help. He is asking the help of the supreme who is above all of us. As Gajendra has described, the Supreme Lord has various parts and parcels, including the demigods, human beings, and animals, all covered by separate forms. Although the demigods are in charge of maintaining different aspects of the universe, Gajendra thought that they were unable to rescue him. Haringvina naiva mritim taranti. No one can rescue anyone from the dangers of birth, death, old age, and disease. It is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can rescue one from the dangers of material existence. Therefore, an intelligent person to get free from this dangerous existence approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not any demigod. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kamaistaistar Hrityagyana Rupanyante Nyadevata. Those who are unintelligent approach the various demigods for temporary material benefits. Actually, however, these demigods cannot rescue the living entity from the dangers of material existence. Like other living entities, the demigods are merely external parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's transcendental body. As stated in the Vedic mantras, Sa-atma angani anya devata. Then the body is the atma, the soul, whereas the various parts of the body, like the hands and legs, are external. Similarly, the Atma of the entire cosmic manifestation is Narayan, Lord Vishnu, and all the demigods, human beings, and other living entities are parts of his body. It may also be concluded that since a tree lives on the strength of its root, and when the root is nourished with water, all the parts of the tree are nourished, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original root of everything. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very difficult to approach, he is very near to us because he lives within our hearts. As soon as the Lord understands that one is seeking his favor by fully surrendering, naturally he immediately takes action. Therefore, although the demigods did not come to the aid of Gajendra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately appeared before him because of his fervent prayer. This does not mean that the demigods were angry with Gajendra, for actually when Lord Vishnu is worshipped, all the other demigods are also worshipped. Yasmin tushte jagat tushtam. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. Yatattara mula nisichanena tribyanti tatskanda bujopashaka pranopaharascha yatindiyanam. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches, twigs, and everything else, and is supplying food to the stomach and enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, so simply worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods who are parts of that Supreme Personality. Bhagavatam 4:31-14. When the Supreme Personality of God is worshipped, all the demigods are worshipped. So here we are learning from Gajendra. Who to turn to when we're in difficulty? So So the question is, when are we in difficulty? Actually, we are always in difficulty. Sometimes we realize it. Sometimes we don't realize it. What is the difficulty? This material body. That is a difficulty. Because actually we are not these bodies. But we're still thinking, I am this body. I am male. I am female. I am dog. I am cat. This is a very, very big difficulty. We continue to misidentify ourselves with the material nature. Therefore, we foolishly subject ourselves to birth, death, old age, and disease again and again. So it's time to learn something from our Siksha Guru Gajendra. How to take shelter of Krishna. Not some demigod, not some politician, not some rock star, some movie star, or anybody else in the material world, you see. Just like anybody else here in this material world. It's like today is Durga Puja going on everywhere. So we have learned from Prabhupada we don't need to worship any demigod. Prabhupada has very wonderfully enlightened us in this regard. We've heard this example hundreds of times. And the more we hear it, the better it is for us. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you feed your body, when you feed the belly, you feed all the bodily parts. Even though we've heard this thousands of times, and we think, yeah, I know that. But are we doing it?
No,
we're not doing it yet. We have theoretical knowledge, but we are lacking in practical application of that knowledge. We're still absorbed in Indriya Seva. To a certain extent. But actually we should have one business and one business only, and that is Krishna Seva. It's interesting to note in this verse in Purpur how Gajendra didn't really know who God was. But yet the Lord appeared to him. So that shows you that devotion is more important than knowledge. He did not know who was God. But he had faith in the principle of a supreme authority. And because of that very, very strong faith in the supreme authority, even though he had no idea who that authority was, that authority revealed himself. So that's why on the path of bhakti, what is the first step? Shraddha, faith. It's a very important thing. One must have faith. This faith, it is sometimes said in English language, faith can move mountains. And faith can move mountains. And we see its effect. We all know the story of a little sparrow. The mean, nasty ocean stole the little sparrow's eggs. The sparrow, being the mother, and these were her children, she was very disturbed, obviously. So she requested the ocean, "You kindly return my eggs." That mean, nasty ocean flatly refused. So that little sparrow, she was determined. She had great faith in her ability. You could say it was blind faith. But yet she had faith, I can dry up that ocean. So she took a few drops in her mouth, she went back to the land, she deposited it on the land. She's going back and forth, a few drops at a time. Everybody's laughing, oh, just look at that stupid little bird, she's going to run herself to death. But she has a big brother who is the king of the birds. Garuda. So the Garuda came swooping in on Garuda Airlines. You're harassing my little sister, you rascal ocean. He has all mystic powers. He's the very Lord Vishnu's carrier. You surrender those eggs immediately or I will dry you up. So Prabhupada, in his purport, he quotes a famous English saying, God helps those who help themselves. So we have to make that endeavor. What is the eggs that we're trying to retrieve? We're trying to achieve Krishna Prema, which has been stolen by Maya. Maya is saying, no, I'm not going to let you have Krishna Prema. But we want that Krishna Prema back. That's our rightful claim to Krishna Prema. So we have to be determined like that little sparrow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. The spirit was going for the drops of water, we're going for that mantra. It's the same principle, you see. We are so much drowning in this ocean of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Sometimes it seems impossible we can become pure devotees. It's such a huge, Maya is such a huge, vast ocean. We're drowning in that ocean. How can we ever get liberated? Sometimes it seems impossible, doesn't it? But if we have the determination of that little sparrow, one drop at a time, one mantra at a time, I am going to dry up that ocean of material desires one mantra at a time. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And who will come to help you? Your Guru Maharaj is there, he will help you. Prabhupada will help you. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. All the Acharyas will be there. Naratam Das Thakur. Vishnath Chakradi Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally himself will come and rescue you from this ocean. If you have faith. But if you don't have faith, what are you called? Pashandi. We must not be Pashandis, faithless rascals. We must have faith. We must not be in that category as described in Bhagavatam. Dog, Sabaka. The hog, Svinya. The camel, Verblut. The ass, the ashiol. Yes, I helped her with a translation today. My only four worsened words I know. Sabaka, Svinya, Verblut, and Ashiol. Actually, it's interesting, in English language there's a word asshole. It's an insult when you call somebody an asshole. It means the victim of an ass. So, to be an Ashiol is very loving. So we should not be Ashiols or Sabakas or Svinyas or Verblutes, you see. So what does Bhagavatam say about these four categories? Ashvabit bada ushtras karai sangstitak parishak pachu najatakoma patapeto jatana magadagra jaha. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses, Sabaka, Svinya, Verblut and Ashiol, do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So, what if you're sitting in the Bhagavatam class, but your mind is not attracted to the Bhagavatam? It's going somewhere else. You're not attracted to hear the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says, Sabaka, Svinya, Verblut, Ashiol. So we have to learn how to tune in. We have to learn how to tune in. Just like on a radio, you tune in to the radio station. Yes, this is actually a radio broadcast. Vaikuntha Radio, you see. So tune in. Turn on and bliss out. This is our motto. Tune in, turn on, and bliss out. Tune in to Krishna. Turn on your eternal spiritual identity as His servant. And celebrate your actual identity as His servant. So, my dear Prabhus and Matajis, there's no reason to ever suffer in this material world. Suffering is the pastime of fools. If you ever find yourself miserable, give yourself a good kick because you're just being stupid. You're not connecting with your actual identity as Krishna's servant. Krishna is not a myth. Krishna is reality, the most real thing. Krishna is more real than anything. Krishna is the source of everything. Since Krishna is the source of everything, Krishna is present everywhere also. So tune in to Krishna. Turn on your eternal spiritual identity. Celebrate the glories of Krishna consciousness by absorbing yourself 24 hours a day in hearing and chanting and serving the Lord. You owe it to yourself to be who you actually are. Don't try to be something you're not, your material body. You can't pull it off. Be who you actually are, the eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with God Himself. This is our philosophy. So now, are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
This verse, the Lord, He calls the Lord Atma. And also Jiva, also we are Atma.
He calls Him Atma, okay.
On the Slava Atma, I'm not speaking, right?
Yeah.
What make individual soul? Individual soul, individual atma. What makes
it? What makes the soul individual?
Yeah.
Atma means individuality.
Atma means individual.
Without individuality, there is no atma.
То есть сама атма это уже значит индивидуальность. Без индивидуальности нет атмы.
In English, we say self. What does self mean? It means consciousness. The symptom of the Atma is consciousness. For example, you, Prabhu, are conscious. That proves that you are not, you are a self, you are a person. Atma is that which possesses consciousness. There is no consciousness, there is no Atma. Does that answer your question? Yes. The difference is the Atma has infinitesimal consciousness. And the Paramatma has infinite consciousness. You are conscious of the pains and pleasures within your body. If I get a stomachache, you can't feel it. If I get a stomachache, you cannot feel my stomach. You're conscious only within your body, you see. But Paramatma, he is conscious of everything throughout all of existence. So why is there a difference? That's the next question. Why are we not also God? Why?
Because in personalism, I rather they say that we become liberated, the mind finish, so we also become liberated.
What is the question?
If a person. Our eternal condition is that we are individual soul.
That's right.
And so, the question is, what is this? What the eternally separate us from this eternal soul?
Why are we eternally individual?
Why
were you small? Why we're not all God? Why we can't all be God? Well, that's why we're here in the material world, because we wanted to be God. Why we have to be servant of God? It's like the in your body the stomach gets all the food, you see. In your body the stomach enjoys the food. Now the other bodily parts they may get envious. Why I can't enjoy the food? All I'm doing is serving the stomach. Actually, there's an example in this connection. The bodily parts got really angry. We're just working so hard to feed that stomach. That stomach is a capitalist pig. We're going to go on strike. So they got their signs, they formed a labor union. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a capitalist pig. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. So the demonstration was going on with great enthusiasm and vigor. On the first day. For the second day, somehow they were losing their energy. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a capitalist pig. Don't feed the stomach. On the third day, it was getting really bad. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a capitalist pig. So then they said, I think we should call another meeting of the labor union. So they voted that they would start feeding the stomach again. So we may wonder why I can't be God, why I have to be so small, you know. We may even go on strike and say, I will not serve that person who thinks he's bigger than me. But the reality is, we are small and he is big. Why he didn't make us big? Well, Krishna likes varieties. He does have expansions who are big. They are called Vishnu Tattva expansions. But Krishna is the enjoyer of many varieties. So even though he expands unlimited Vishnus from himself to have unlimited relationships with all those Vishnus, Krishna also desires to have those who are subordinate to him. That is his nature. Because after all, then he's God. So he actually enjoys having people who are smaller than him, who surrender to him. So there's the answer, Prabhu. You are tiny because God enjoys your being tiny. But he takes great pleasure in becoming tinier than those who are tiny. If you leave your Papa says God is Ajita, he is unconquerable. But he becomes conquered by the devotee's love. So even though Krishna has made you very small, if you love him with a pure heart, he will make himself smaller than you and you bigger than him. This is Vaishnava philosophy. No one else can understand this. Only the Vaishnavas can understand. Next question. Yeah. I'm going to give him a chance. Give him a turn now.
It's connected.
Huh?
It's connected.
Oh, your connection is connected with his question. Okay. So let's answer both of them together then. I'll answer both of you together. The pure devotee
experiences more pleasure
by what?
Serving Krishna.
Than being served by Krishna.
No, that Krishna is experiencing as
Krishna. Yes, that's also there. So what is his question now? You're saying the pure devotee enjoys more than Krishna does? Is that what you're saying?
No.
He enjoys more what?
More bliss.
More pleasure in?
More bliss.
Serving Krishna.
More pleasure in serving Krishna than what?
He experiences more pleasure, the devotee experiences more pleasure than Krishna does in the relationship of service.
Yes, that's a fact. I forgot about Lord Chaitanya for a minute, but now I remember. Yes, the devotee actually... Krishna has more... Krishna is seeing, my devotee is enjoying serving me more than I'm enjoying being served by him. Krishna is the supreme, therefore he can never be outdone by anyone. So Krishna is supreme. Nobody can ever outdo him. It's not possible. No one can defeat him. He's the supreme. So when he sees my devotee is tasting more pleasure in serving me than I am tasting being served by him, he wants to also get that pleasure of the devotee. Therefore he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can relish that pleasure of being the devotee of Krishna. In other words, it's more fun to be a devotee than it is to be God. So why be envious? God, poor God, doesn't get to enjoy as much as the devotees enjoy. You see? That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wants to be that devotee. If they tell him he was God, he would block his ears. If they tell him you were God, he would block his ears. He didn't want anything to do with that nonsense of being God. He just wanted to be the devotee of God. Next. In the back there.
Why Krishna didn't come for the gender?
Yeah, because he was praying for Supreme and then they understood that it's not for them his prayers, but why not Krishna? Why Krishna?
Because he didn't take your consultation. That you can find out when you go back to Godhead, you can ask him. These are all a chintya lila, inconceivable pastime. Yeah?
Krishna doesn't.
Krishna не делает какую-то маленькую работу, которую могут сделать.
Krishna doesn't what?
Yeah, his expansions go, that's right. But actually, that is Krishna. If you have the proper vision, that is Krishna himself. Krishna is everywhere in one sense. So he appears in a form that's just suitable. Here's the real answer. He appears in a form that is just suitable for that devotee to awaken his divine consciousness. It's a loving reciprocation between Krishna and his devotees. That was the form that Gajendra needed to see. That was the perfect form for him to awaken his higher consciousness. Krishna has millions and billions of forms. And he appears to his devotees in that specific form, just suitable for them to awaken their divine consciousness. So that's the answer to your question. Okay, your hand was next, and your actual hand. Yeah. We're supposed to end pretty soon, I guess. What time are you usually in the class? 9 p.m.?
Huh?
Okay. 9 p.m. We'll finish by 9 p.m. then. So, yeah.
So, how we can not only call the Lord when the problem comes, but then every day of
the future? What is he saying?
How can we call the Lord, not only, how we can call the Lord in very intensely, not only on the day when the problem comes?
Yeah, yeah, I understand. How can we call the Lord intensely even when we don't have the problems? Well, I can tell you, you have a problem right now. Your problem is you don't realize what kind of a problem you have right now. We're always in the most problematic situation. But due to Maya's influence, we think, oh, no problem, no problem. This morning, one of my godbrothers said, Sankarshan Prabhu, how are you doing? So I could have said, fine. But I told them, Prabhu, I'm merely battling it out with the modes of nature. I'm in great difficulty. I'm being tortured by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. You see, that's our actual position. We're in an emergency situation right now. If you are not, hey, Prabhupada wrote me one letter. He told me this. Prabhupada ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So if I'm not seeing Krishna face to face, I'm disobeying my spiritual master. That means I'm an offender. If I'm not seeing Krishna face to face, that means Sankarshan Hoy Aparadhi. I'm an offender. So I have a big problem. I'm not obeying my spiritual master's order to qualify myself to see Krishna. You understand the point? You're next.
Is the spiritual master a form of Krishna?
Is what?
Is the spiritual master a form of Krishna?
Is the spiritual master a form of Krishna? In one sense, yes. In another sense, no. Prabhupada describes the spiritual master in this way. Supreme personality of served Godhead. That is Krishna. That is Krishna, the supreme personality of served Godhead. And the supreme personality of servitor Godhead, that's the spiritual master. Because he has the Shakti of Krishna, in that sense he's considered to be an incarnation of Krishna. Not that he is Krishna, but he has the Shakti of Krishna. It's like the term Shakti Vesha Avatar. Shakti is the potency. How to understand this? Actually, I was with Prabhupada during his Vyas Puja in 1972. It was a great festival. Wow, it's fantastic. We were in New Vrindavan. And devotees had built a pavilion up on top of a beautiful hill. It was just beautiful. There were forests and there was hills. It was beautiful. And there was about maybe 500 devotees there. And the media had also been invited. The New York Times was there. I mean, it was a big thing. So Prabhupada sitting there being worshipped as good as God. devotees can understand.
Really?
What's the New York Times going to think? What's the New York Times going to think? A man being worshipped like God, this is a great, what is that word? This is a very controversial thing. You're worshipping a man as God? So to explain to the media what it is, Prabhupada gave a very nice example. He said, during the British rule of India, there was one person called the Viceroy. He stayed here in India and ruled India on behalf of the king in London. So whenever the Viceroy would come, they would offer him all the honor and respect that's due to the king. They would give him gifts. He wouldn't keep the gifts. He would send the gifts to London. But in this way, the spiritual master is like the Viceroy. He's accepting that worship as good as God. Like the Viceroy is accepting the honor that's due to the king. Spiritual master accepts the honor that is due to Krishna. But he doesn't keep it. He passes it on to Prabhupada. Who passes it to Bhaktisiddhanta. Who goes all the way up to Krishna. So this way I understand Guru. Yes.
How to understand that, for example, my old atheistic friends back in Norway, how are they getting nourished by me trying to perform some seva?
Yes.
So, you can provide me with a question.
How is my atheistic friends, for example, how are they getting nourished by me performing or someone?
Как мои эстетические друзья могут получать какую-то подпитку, если я совершаю преданное служение, как они от этого платят?
It's interesting to note in this connection.
Очень интересно есть одно.
Prabhupada describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That when one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense,
если один раз повторяется имя Господа без оскорблений,
he becomes Jagadguru. And under his influence, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. So the fact is that every devotee who is sincerely trying to awaken their Krishna consciousness, they are actually purifying the atmosphere of this world. Every devotee is sincerely trying to become a good devotee. They're actually making the world a better place just by their chanting and their sincerity. So what you're doing by your chanting and by your service, you're helping to purify the atmosphere of this whole universe. That is having an impact on every single living entity, not only in this universe, but the whole material world. So it is literally a fact. By your chanting, you're blessing all living entities in the whole material world. So now you have to strive for purity. Because the more pure you're chanting, the more benefit it is having on all the living entities. You can save the world just by your chanting. So we can stop here. And we... One more question? From Madhavi. Yeah, this last question, okay. This will be the last question, yeah.
Желание, и он пока не может, не хочет от них отказываться.
doesn't want to give up.
Some devotee what?
Material desires.
Some devotees have material desires.
And he doesn't already, doesn't want to give up that.
All right. How can you call him a devotee then?
Yeah, but he's practicing and what he can do.
That means they're a devotee of Maya, not a devotee of Krishna. You don't become a devotee by putting a tilak on the nose and kanti mala on the neck. They're only a showbata, they're not really a devotee. A real devotee means he wants to give up all material desires and develop pure love for Krishna. So now be kind to that pseudo devotee and make him a real devotee. Encourage them that material desires are a dark well. Material desires is the road to hell. Why do you want to hold on to material desires? It's crazy. Bhagavad Gita makes it very clear. Material pleasure is the source of misery. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 22. So why are they holding on to misery? They are called Vantasi. Vantasi means one who vomits, who vomits and eats their own vomit. So those who are still hankering at material desires are eating their own vomit. So now you be kind to that vomit eater and make her a devotee, a real devotee of Krishna. You be ideal, but you strive for pure bhakti and giving out all material desires from your heart. And she will see how blissful you are by doing that. And she'll be envious. Why are you more happy than me? So in this way you make her a devotee. A real devotee. So we'll stop here and we thank you all very much. Achilabai. Why do they say it in Russian? Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you. Спасибо. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.